If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
On Friday, we talked to Stephen Brown of Springbank Honey, and we were talking about the controversy surrounding the destruction of 10,000 of his bee boxes containing $2 million worth of honey and equipment. He thought he had been, I think it's fair to say, dealt with in a kind of corrupt way by American fowl brood and competitors. Now, we talked to Dwayne Hill, the head of AFB, last week, and he told us how they go about doing these inspections, looking for AFP, et cetera, how they run the operation, which Stephen was so very critical about. So that was on Friday. We heard both from Stephen and Dwayne. There's another part of the picture. And Jane Mortimer is the president of NZ Beekeeping, the representative agency that Stephen Brown belongs to. So we thought we'd have Jane on to find out what that particular industry body is thinking and what are they going to do about this. Jane, thanks for coming on this morning.
My pleasure.
Okay, so the pictures of the fire, pretty dramatic to watch. Stephen is kind of amped up on this. He's not happy. He feels like he's been, well, subject to, he used the word corruption and thought that he'd been singled out by competitors who are part of the group that Dwayne manages. And we also understand that there are two industry representative groups, and he's with you, and there's another one, and I'll ask you about that. So this has turned into, well, how would you describe the situation, Jay?
I mean, it's a situation. I understand Stephen has got an issue with a level of American fowl brood, but the situation is that they're now using spores to determine whether there is fowl brood present.
Yeah.
And the industry signed up in 1998 to the pest management plan. It was called a pest management strategy in those days. And in that, it was destruction of hives showing clinical, i.e. visual, symptoms.
Right. So this is down to the... Can I just clear this for the audience? He said that's down to the cellular level of the bee. That's how I understood it. Is that correct?
I don't know whether that would be the right terminology.
Okay, well, I'm simple. I don't know much about that. But kind of at that level, rather than just a couple of spores, what, attaching itself to a bee case?
With the spores, a low level of spores may not cause actual visual case of the disease. So it needs a large amount of spores to be able to create that visual symptoms.
Right.
And at the moment, it's very unclear as to where that level is. But as I say, the industry didn't sign up to spore levels. They signed up to the visual symptoms rather than at the spore level, at the lower level.
Okay, so how come the goalposts shifted, Jane, do you think?
Well, they're looking at new technology, and we're not against new technology and what have you, but really it needs consultation with the industry, and then there would need to be regulatory changes in that for the pest management plan if they were going to go to the level of spores. But most commercial beekeepers and even most hobby beekeepers have probably got a low level of spores in their beehives.
Is it inevitable that these spores will be there? I mean, it is nature after all.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they can be there, the bees can clean them out, they can, it can grow. We just, it varies depending on the stress level of the hive. And you know what we do with them as to whether it will flare up or whether it might just stay there and never become a visual symptom.
Do you think there's the appearance, but maybe it's more than that, of a conflict of interest with the way that the AFB management agency runs its inspections, using apiarists already in the business and some potentially competitors? Is that an issue for you?
The two main people who are doing the operation is the operations managers. They usually do take care of who they send around and that to do inspections. And quite often in that, we will actually ask if we can be present in that when they're doing those inspections. So I don't have too much issue in that. It's something that the beekeepers bought into and they realised that there would be, you know, these type of inspections. As long as they're done fairly and there are ways to actually talk and discuss through any issues that are found.
Yeah, because he seems to think that there is a kind of more to it than just inspection, that it's an opportunity to, well, pressure him, but also, well, he didn't say close him down, but, you know, to take competitive action against him through those procedures. Do you have any worry that that could be happening?
Sorry, I can't really make comment because, you know, I don't know all of the circumstances around it. So,
right,
you know,
okay. Fair
it's,
enough.
It's beyond what I can make comment on.
Okay, now what about the other regulatory body? There are two. Is there a competition between your two bodies, I guess?
Both Apiculture New Zealand and New Zealand Beekeeping represent beekeepers. Apiculture New Zealand also represents that their membership is wider because they've got marketers,
right,
hobby beekeepers, etc. Whereas we just deal with basically commercial beekeepers in a family-orientated businesses mostly.
Yeah. He seems to think that he was treated quite badly with disrespect and sort of a very punitive attitude. And it seems that the punishment for not complying is, I mean, you can go to jail. That surprised me. And, you know, a lot of problems can come up. Why is the regime, and it may not be in your mind, but why is it so harsh? And that was kind of the way he framed it.
Yeah, well, the questions that you know our organisation are raising at the moment is under which legislation they've actually undertaken the inspection and order for destruction. Now, if it's under the Biosecurity Act, then my understanding is that the penalties there can be jail. It depends because biosecurity and that deals with incursions and responses and exotic diseases and what have you. So there are greater penalties there compared to what is in actually the order and council on that for the American Feral Bird Pest Management Plan.
And no compensation. He claims he lost $2 million worth of equipment in that fire. That's a heavy hit, isn't it?
I mean, it is a heavy hit. And it's something that, you know, wouldn't want to see becoming a widespread occurrence. But, yeah, as we say, there needs to be some further investigation as to the background of what the managers did on that with respect to his outfit. And we can't really make any comment until we get, some further advice on how the Biosecurity Act and the Order and Council on that relate to each other.
So you're not clear under what law this took place. You're not actually clear.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Because under the Feral Brood Pest Management Plan, it's very clear that beekeepers only have to destroy hives with clinical, i.e. visual symptoms. And we struck a deal that if that was the case, that the hive, the bees, and the associated equipment with that hive were destroyed, then there would be no compensation. Because if you're a reasonably good beekeeper, you can keep the levels of American foul brood quite low in your
right
beekeeping outfit.
Yeah. Okay. What happens if this AFB becomes widespread? What is the threat to the industry?
I mean, the disease itself is widespread throughout New Zealand. It's been here for decades.
Okay. I'm only learning about this. I never knew so much about honey until now.
and of course, the problem is also on that the spores are viable for decades as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can have a level of spores within your equipment and not know it. It is widespread, and that's why we developed the Order and Council and that to try and eliminate the disease out of New Zealand, because it does cost a lot of money in that to maintain hives. Overseas, they use antibiotics, and antibiotics was one of the things that the New Zealand beekeepers at the time decided that they did not wish to use antibiotics to control the disease.
Right.
And my understanding is that overseas, the hive can exist for a while and then it breaks down and the beekeeper has to destroy the hive anyway. So we as an industry decided that we would try and eliminate the disease out of the country. Now that we've got varroa mite here in New Zealand and dealing with that, it's a lot more complicated because you've got hives dying also from varroa mite infestations, and sometimes determining exactly what your hive has died from is difficult, whether it's foul brood, sack brood, and some of the other diseases, plus varroa mite, as to exactly what they have died from. So it is a lot more complicated and complex than what it used to be.
What does foul brood do to the actual bee? How does it affect the bee?
The foul brood, basically kills the young larvae, so your hive ends up getting weakened to the point where if you don't pick it up early enough, it can end up dying and then being robbed out by other bees. And that's one way that you can spread foul brood very easily. Right. The other way is by beekeepers actually moving frames of brood and bees from one hive to another, which we quite often do to try and strengthen a weakened hive or, you know, do other things. So it is primarily beekeeper spread.
I've got a quote from you from a TVNZ story saying that you're describing the approach as very concerning. So what do you do about it?
The American Foul Brood Pest Management Plan was actually up for review, and we did the submissions on it. And one of the things that, you know, we wanted to change was to ensure that there is actually an appeal process put in place, because that currently isn't there. And also, we would like further clarification around how the pest management plan will end up going, what direction it goes in if they do change to doing spores. And of course, there'll have to be that legislation change, that regulation change, and that around that. But beekeepers need to actually buy into it.
Okay, and I guess the last question. Do MPI operate to help the beekeeper, or can they be a little standover? Because that's what Stephen said, that's kind of power crazy. Have you picked up on that? Do you have a comment to make about that? And you don't have to. I mean, you know, I understand.
Yeah, I can't really comment on that. They do have a role within the pest management plan, but, yeah, exactly. I haven't seen any issues there and that, so I can't really comment.
And what do you do to help someone in his situation? What can you do?
We are basically just, trying to find out more information about what's happened with regards to his case. And as I say, we're seeking some further advice in that on how the pest management plan and the Biosecurity Act actually interact, and see whether there is, are they currently doing something that... Is it legal or not in that to order the destruction on spores?
If it's not, he would be in the line for some sort of compensation, you'd think.
Well, if they've done it under the Biosecurity Act, possibly in that he should get compensation.
Yeah.
But I'm not a lawyer, so
no, I don't. Neither am I. Yeah, but I mean, that would seem fair.
It would be fair, yeah. I mean, we advocate for all things to be fair and that for beekeepers. And, sometimes it is quite an uphill battle on that because you are dealing with bureaucracy.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming on, RCR, Jane Lorimer, President of New Zealand Beekeeping Incorporated. I know a whole lot more about beekeeping and bees than I did about an hour and a half ago. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Pleasure.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.